In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
All right, get comfortable. Time for a podcast. Our guest on the program today is our friend Doug Williams. Doug is an anchor and a host at SNY, covering all manner of New York sports. He's a man from a gorgeous gene pool. Clip.
We love the whole Williams family. Big fan of girls. Big fan of Brian's work as an anchor.
And don't forget about Jane.
She's fantastic.
Lovely lady.
We love Jane.
The only off-camera member of the family. Even the family dog starred in Air Bud 2.
Is that right?
No. I don't know.
Maybe. I thought you did a deep dive on Doug.
Yeah.
Found some sketchy
stuff
on Wiki.
They only get good for on-air animals.
Yeah. So a very deep family. And we're going to talk MLB playoffs. I think baseball is Doug's bread and butter. Is that fair to say?
He's the best in the biz.
And the Tribe on their way to their first World Series since Jake Taylor in 97.
Believeland
is on fuego again, Kloop. And the Dodgers and Cubs now knotted at 2 apiece. Game 5 ongoing as we speak. About to happen. So we'll look at that series from 30,000 feet. I think it's gone 7 anyways.
Hot take.
There you have it. Everyone just wait till next week and tune in for 7.
I want to talk a little Westworld with both of you. Kind of the hot show of the moment. And speaking of actually TV, Kloop, Zach G chats me today that he watched 9 Gossip Girls yesterday.
He told me the same thing.
It could have been 8.
Oh, 8's fine.
Either way.
Dude, it's addicting. You watch one and they leave you with a damn hip cliffhanger.
That is psycho stuff, man.
It was a dark day, dude.
You must almost be finished with the whole thing.
Season 5, I'm 91 episodes in.
Holy smokes.
In how long?
Well, I started when we were in Hawaii. So it was at beginning of August. It's not that crazy.
But I feel like the pace is
Well,
gotten...
no, I take it off and then I'll come back and then...
You did pick up the pace lately.
Yeah.
What's going on? Like, are they all pregnant? What's happening?
Everybody's pregnant. A lot of brother-sister stuff.
Interesting.
It's very good.
Kloop, also want to talk some other ITL headlines with Doug. Get him to weigh in on Geno. Isaiah Thomas making a very bold statement about the Knicks making the Eastern Conference Finals. That's a hot take.
It sure is. I didn't know Isaiah Thomas even was allowed to give interviews anymore.
Do you agree with his prediction?
I do not.
You do not.
To put it succinctly early on, I do not. We'll get into the how and why.
Save it for
that.
The segment.
Yeah,
save it for the
a
segment.
Little bit later.
So it's just a hard no.
It's just a hard no. Yeah, hard and fast no.
You want to chop a little debate quickly?
Yeah, let's do it.
Your takeaways?
It was the, you know, it's the thing of the moment.
The third and final out in Vegas.
Yeah, the thrill in Manila of the three.
Exactly.
Just the final no holds bar haymakers. A lot of it. Zach said he thought Trump looked physically not as good as he's familiar.
He looked so straight. It looked like he had a mustache. His different colors. All
I don't really
face.
Know what Zach's talking about with the mustache. I
think it might have been my it might have been my TV then, dude.
I don't know.
It was weird.
Generally, he's an incredibly unusual looking human being.
He's a very unique looking.
He's
guy.
A caricature of a human.
There is
it's not
so
real.
Much going on facially, like different areas you can get yourself lost in.
Yes.
The eye can get lost in the neck. Then you're looking at the eyes. There's just a lot going on.
So the numbers are in 70 million watched. That's less than the first, but more than the second. And the second was 2 days after the Access Hollywood tape broke. So pretty impressive numeros.
That's big numbers.
Yeah, it's big numbers. What did you make of some of the language off the top? First time we've probably heard Spanglish on a presidential debate stage with bad hombre.
Bad hombres. Sometimes.
It was hombre, Clue.
Hombre,
which
sorry.
Is hungry in Spanish.
But
I know what he meant.
Okay.
But he said hombre.
But I was following it along on Twitter, actually. I can't really watch the whole debate. Like, I'm just not.
You can't do the full 9.
I need it.
The thing for the debates with me is, like, no matter what happens at that thing, it's all the same. Like, everyone says she won. His side says he won. And then, like, usually they meet somewhere.
Yeah, but you watch for the theatrics.
But I see on Twitter and I come out, I'm like, did he seriously say bad hombres?
Yeah.
So.
And then he said big league twice, right on the heels of bad hombres. And people who searched it on Google were wondering what big league.
Well, yeah, no, there's bigly. Always that difference between when he's, because nobody knows if he's saying bigly, like the non-word version of very big, or big league.
Big league.
Yeah.
Dude, it's
sometimes he just gets stuck and like something just comes out.
But I wanted to see what the results were of the piss test. Apparently they didn't actually do that.
No, the drug test never came to fruition, unfortunately.
That was excellent stuff.
Yeah, that was a good idea in the moment.
So my main takeaway, and you'll probably be able to answer this, everyone complains about the election, like, oh my God, I can't wait for it to finally be over.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's bullshit. Because people
not for me.
No, but people, it's just like such this common ground thing to talk about, especially for people in your business, Alex. Like, just content off of content off of content coming out of this guy's pie hole every single day.
I mean, it's no secret that Donald Trump has been good for cable news ratings across the board. Yet not to mention the amount of straight up free content the networks get from his rallies that you can just, this was more true during the primary season when it was still kind of a novelty. You can just put on a Trump rally for an hour. You don't have
to have
it. It's
like an infomercial.
You don't have to have a show. You don't have to pay anyone. So yeah, like say what you want about Hillary, whatever you think about her politics, it's not going to be that interesting or exciting, right?
And it's just like this common ground thing. People, it's like I was thinking it kind of equates like weather, you know, like the winter, everyone's bitching about the weather. It's like this great way to like get together, like, oh, it's so fucking cold and like the snow. And then it's like the summer and everyone's like, oh, I don't have anything to say to this, to Don from accounting, because like the weather's
just don't
nice.
Speak to him.
That's what
it's easier that way.
That's what I do.
I'm ready for it to be over.
It was June 16th 2015. Donald J. Trump descends the escalator at Trump Tower. New
the
York
early,
City.
The earlier stuff was better. The Republican primary was good.
Yeah, after that was that, gold.
That was him and Rubio going at it toe to toe.
It's been a long road. 19 days out, and then it's all over.
I was thinking, the guy's going to come in second. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
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 Crazy.
Agree.
For a circus monkey with a spray tan.
And an
impressive.
Absolute. Yeah.
With it. Yeah. With a big old. Anyway,
Jesus.
But then I was thinking the election night is the Super Bowl, right?
Well, how
many people will be on CNN's main set?
Chris, they will have a 12 box going. 12. They'll be beaming in people from polling places, and it could be chaotic. Like, Trump is riling up a lot of people with this talk about like a rigged election, and people are going to go to polling places and, you know, quote unquote, watch voters. It's going to be it's going to be tense at some point.
I saw him say today, yeah, he'll accept the results of the election. It quote, if he wins.
Yeah. Dot, dot, dot. If I win. Crowd in Ohio goes nuts.
I just remember 2012. Like, that was the first time CNN used that thing where they would fully like beam in another announcer.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is the future of television. Now, I mean, I don't even know what to expect for election night, but I'm fired up.
Yeah, they're going to have some voodoo up their sleeve.
I still wish they would do like the crossover program where the Sunday NFL countdown guys did the election. And then, you know, you'd have like,
you want Boom.
Yeah.
Hey, Woodson Moss.
Now, the thing about Nevada, Boom, all right, that's a different electorate.
Key. Nevada is nothing.
Stump the swamp.
Should we get to Doug? Lot to talk about. Let's just do it. All right, but before we do, we got to talk about Indochino. You've heard us talking about Indochino for a few weeks now. They're one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands out there. Best part is, they make it easy for us to get a high-quality suit for an incredible price. You have to visit Indochino.com or drop by one of their 9 North American showrooms to check out the fabrics and customizations that they have available. The great part is our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering Lupica at checkout. You have to use our code Lupica, so don't forget. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. You'll never have to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive trips to the tailor again. Check out Indochino.com and enter our code Lupica at checkout and get ready to look like $1 million.
50% off?
It's such a good deal and they're gorgeous.
Yeah. Like, go get the suit. I'm going to go get one tomorrow.
You're looking great in Indochino. Are you wearing it out tonight?
I think I'm going to wear it out tomorrow night.
Friday.
More of like a fancier event.
Friday night, kind of Indochino night.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get to Doug, let's talk a little Westworld.
Zach's only seen one episode, so we're not going to do too much spoilers. And for those of you out there who are still catching up, we're going to do spoilers. But it is a pretty great fall television show. It's kind of my number one right now.
I think it's number one.
And I've been struggling, dude, like trying to find shows to enjoy.
Gossip Girl, dude.
Just watch 9 Gossip Girls instead.
just mainline Gossip Girl. So anyway, we read last week, or this without giving away a spoiler, but in the last episode, they mentioned that it's $40,000 a day to visit Westworld.
Yes, that's a Wall Street Journal headline. They kind of break it down.
Well, when you guys brought this up, you wanted to ask, like, if I would pay that much?
No, well,
I was going to say, that's a little out of my
No way. One is under the illusion that you have $40,000.
Yeah, I have like nine.
Yeah, that's that if the Boise State over hits tonight, you never know.
Yeah.
So
if the Boise State over hits, you're going to Westworld.
Yeah, Zach, we're all going, boys. You too, Jarnold.
Yeah, Zach gets to spend 15 minutes in Westworld. But is it worth it? I mean, that seems a bit steep.
That sounds very
well,
steep.
Well, what's how much am I making a year?
Not that.
It's a fun place to hang out, no question. Someone told me that I'm Ed Harris.
You are Ed Harris. No, you are the man in
you
black.
You want to hear my prediction about
you're
Ed
wearing
Harris?
Black?
I think Ed Harris is going to turn out to be the good guy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hot take. So far, all he's done is rape and pillage his way through Westworld.
Yeah, but I think the people that are running it are going to end up being the bad guys, and he's going to be the one trying to figure it out.
We haven't heard that from anyone, I don't think, Luke.
There you go.
That's big.
Yeah, that's big. You've seen one episode.
I also read that...
maybe he's been watching too much Gossip Girl.
I also read that the creators think the second half is much better than the first, which gets me excited, and already have 5 seasons mapped out.
Wow. That is exciting.
I love knowing there's more seasons, because these shows that like just cut it off, like Bloodline just not getting renewed, it's like, well, why am I wasting my time here if we don't have a story arc?
Yeah, at least tell me how it ends.
Yeah.
You know what else I like about it? It's weekly. And that's kind of rare. Most of the great shows are now
binge
watched.
Oh, I like to binge.
Now we're kind of on the same episode. We can all chop it up, talk about how you're Ed Harris, etc. Zach, what would you do in Westworld?
I can't say on here.
No, it's inappropriate.
Nope.
But
I'm not falling for your trap, bro. But yeah, I would go.
Suffice to say,
if I could afford it, I'd be there.
Yeah. I think. Have you heard about the movie from the 80s?
Yeah.
By 70s, the same name?
Yeah.
It's 70s?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't want to watch it.
No.
Out of fear of it giving stuff
anything
away.
Anything made before 2000, no point.
There's a lot coming there.
Anything else on Westworld, Clue?
It would throw me off a little bit just knowing that it was all fake, as real as it felt.
Yeah.
That ruins it for me a little bit, you know, because I would never feel like I was experiencing anything real.
Is it kosher to explain to the fake people that they're fake or no?
You could if you wanted to.
Because I would do that. I'd be like, you know what, this is...
I don't think they get it.
No, well, no, they can get it in the moment, but then they'll forget it in like 40 minutes.
Right. It's like, remember, where's that place you went to in Massachusetts with school where everyone stays in character?
Sturbridge Village.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like Westworld.
Yeah, where you go there and like harass someone. Like, you're not a real blacksmith, dude.
They're
all
like,
right?
Yeah.
It's 2004.
Oh, what's that little machine in your hands? It's like, dude drop
you're
it.
Being
just
a
drop
dick.
It for 2 seconds.
Also, who knew there was a third Hemsworth brother? The oldest Hemsworth, Luke.
Who does he play?
He plays like one of the salty guys who's interviewing the girl. He works for the company who runs it. You'll recognize
the Australian.
Not yeah, he's gorgeous.
Wow.
Yeah,
three Hemsworths, huh?
Tres, just like us. Sorry, Hannah.
Plus Doug, that makes four.
That's right. All right, Doug Williams time. Joining us now on the ITL Hot Take Hotline, pride of Elon University, New Canaan, Connecticut, Doug Williams. And Doug, are you just getting off the air? Are you about to go on the air? Is this an off day? What's going on?
First of all, thrilled to be here.
Happy to have you.
Happy to have you.
Second of all, going on the air at 10:30. Little Geico Sports Night action on SNY. Shameless plug. We're on, I host the show Monday to Friday right now. Starting in November, we'll be doing the baseball off-season show, Baseball Night in New York, which is Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 6 o'clock.
I love it.
I'll be tuned in.
We love plugs. Plug away.
Like, I need all of your loyal listeners to tune in.
All 7.
Yeah. You'll have...
You know them all.
Yeah, the kids that live on 36th Street are in, so that's like 4 guys, and we'll just work our way up from there.
Love it.
What do you...
Skyrocketing.
What do you think about the late night schedule? 10:30 start. So, like, when do you get in? When do you get off?
I get in at about 5 o'clock, and I leave at around 11:30, 12. So, I mean, it's definitely an adjustment, but it is nice to be able to have your days free and like get stuff done. And I don't know, I'm a kind of a night owl as it is.
Yeah.
So I'm up watching sports anyway. So it makes sense to be to be here. And all I'm doing realistically is watching games, and then I'm on the air live for an hour, half an hour or an hour, and then I'm done. So it's pretty ideal. It's for a sports fan, you want to be kind of in front of the TV anyway. I guess I get paid to be in front of the TV.
That's right. And the free days are gorgeous. I mean, you need to hit the dentist. You got to take out the laundry.
Exactly. Like,
anything, any errand-related thing.
Yeah, I always tell people, I'm like, I get so much done. In reality, it's like one doctor's appointment like every 6 months, and the rest of the time is just like me waking up at noon.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds gorgeous.
Zloop, should we start with baseball with Doug? What are you curious about? What do you want to pick Doug Williams' brain about?
Just what he thinks about the Indians.
Yeah,
wow.
Let's talk Trout.
What a run. Francona.
God, that depth chart, the roster, it is a salty group. They have the look about them as like a sketchy, sleazy team that could win it all.
Yeah, like any.
That's analysis.
You've got Rajay Davis and Coco Crisp in the same outfield. Like, you're going places.
Yes, exactly. Maybe it's just Napoli that gives me that sense. Clue.
There's no. They definitely make me just realize, or not make me realize, but they make you aware of the randomness of the postseason for sure. Like, because they haven't just won. I mean, they've blitzed the postseason. They've lost one game
against the two best teams.
And that's kind of just the way it goes. And maybe on the other side, the Cubs, it'll be chalk. But it definitely shows kind of the fun of the postseason and not really knowing what to expect in baseball.
Oh yeah, like before the playoffs start, you try and pick out like the most like well-rounded roster. You're like, okay, they have like a good top three in their rotation. They have like a deep lineup. It really doesn't matter. Like, and also, I think the biggest story, mostly from the Indians, but also from the playoffs in general, I'm not sure. I think we might be like 5 or so years away from teams just using starting pitchers for 3 or 4 innings.
Yeah, like, I wanted to see what you think about like the Indians. Everybody picked them as their sleeper because of their starting pitching. And I almost feel like now when I watch them, they're more dangerous because they don't have starting pitching.
Hasn't the pen pitched just as many innings?
Yeah, same exact
rotation.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you always hear baseball players and analysts talk about like that second and third time through the order and how that's always easier for the hitter. And a lot of times the third way through the order is when starting pitchers start to run into trouble. So if you have a good enough bullpen, why not just avoid that altogether? And that's kind of what the Indians have been able to do. And I mean, Andrew Miller is just absolutely filthy.
Such a joke.
So good.
Especially when you know that Andrew Miller is not going to be on your team next year. So you just kind of go as far as he takes you.
He'll be on the team next year.
He has one more year?
I think he has two more.
Okay. Well,
that's why that trade still hurts. I mean, in terms of like, if you're a Yankee fan, I mean, like that was the one guy that was like really tough to get rid of.
And now it's like this guy, Clint Frazier, and those other guys they got better be good because they gave up the greatest pitcher.
Got a ton of pressure on
him.
I mean, Miller winning ALCS MVP is pretty much everything you need to know about the Tribe.
Yeah. They make the fourth inning feel like the eighth. It's insane.
So, Doug, talk about the performance from Ryan Merritt, no relation to the Parkway.
Wait, what's up with this? Can you set the table here? So what happened with the registry?
The wedding registry.
Yeah, the wedding.
Doug, have you heard about this?
I have not. It's the first time.
So people found somehow Ryan Merritt's wedding registry. He's getting married, so the gifts he wants for his wedding, and they've just been buying it all. And people have been tweeting, like, just bought a crock pot for Ryan Merritt. It's on its way.
That's awesome. Well, I love it, too, because, well, first of all, the Blue Jays, like, for the last few years, I've gone back and forth on whether they've been, like, likable or not, because in some ways, like, they'd come off like a bunch of hardos, and in some ways they come off like, you know, like kind of a cool team. And then I think this year is finally when it all culminated, when they got in that brawl for no reason with the Yankees because like one of their guys got hit. Like, they're very sensitive. And when Batista said the boots thing, I think that just set up like the Tribe was like, all right, let's just go be the Tribe. Let's go like have this guy give us like 4 1/3 innings in Merritt. And he was throwing like 86, and he's a lefty, and on paper, that's such a bad matchup against the Blue Jays. But like in the playoffs, it just doesn't matter.
He just looked like he didn't know where he was. Like, it didn't matter how big the stage that he was on was, that he didn't even know how big it was.
After the game, in the interview, he was completely calm and like put together. I was like, do you know what just happened?
That was cool.
Very good. So we talk about it every postseason, but the lag time, the time off for baseball players who are almost to the man creatures of habit. Good thing, bad thing, if Cubs, Dodgers go 7, and the Indians are kind of sitting around?
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know. And I don't know, like, if you could ever, like, you can never be like, oh, they lost or won because they had so much time off. Like, you can't really point to that. But it's, I just, if you look at the Indians right now, I'm not sure anything really is gonna upset their vibe, because they've just done it so in such an unorthodox way that if anything, it gives them time off. And I think it's not Carrasco. I think it's Salazar that might be back.
Yeah, he could come back. Yeah.
So in that way, maybe they could use as much time as possible. And I mean, these guys are obviously banged up. You don't want to lose your vibe, but at the same time, I'm sure they appreciate a few days off. And I'm sure also that they were out pretty hard in Toronto. So that, in that way,
Napoli tried to get him to Vegas.
Probably... Oh Jesus!
But they said Antonetti was like, after the next series, we'll go.
Napoli, the last time when the Red Sox won in 13, there's pictures of him just walking around shirtless, shirts off in Boston.
He invented the shirtless celebration tour.
Really?
Well,
that's so solid. I actually had I was watching last night because I was at work, and the champagne celebration, and I had someone at work who was like, wouldn't it be great if you just did champagne celebrations like in all professions? Like it wasn't, it wasn't just baseball. It was like, if you were retiring, you just showed up and everyone was like, let's go.
I've thought about that a lot. Actually.
There's plastic all over the walls.
We've wondered about putting tarps up in the apartment and just going nuts one night. But, I think it's easier said than done.
Celebrate, but I'm such a fan of that idea.
All right, let's get quick thought on Dodgers, because we're in the middle of a game pretty much as we speak right now. Doug, is this thing going 7?
Well, what's interesting is I think tonight, obviously, the Dodgers will win 10-0, but I think it's a fairly good matchup for the Cubs because, I don't know, it's Lester, and the Dodgers struggle against lefties, and the Cubs are, you know, rocking the mojo from last night. And I just think... I think they're going to be up and then go to Chicago. If it goes 7, everyone in Chicago is going to panic. So,
yeah, completely.
Like, I'm hoping
the whole country is
going to be
panic.
An insane scene. Yeah.
Everyone's rooting for the Cubs, especially because, I mean, the Indians are a feel-good story, but I don't think that they connect like nationally the way the Cubs do.
I mean, everyone's just going to feel sick to their stomach if they go down hard.
Well, I was worried about that when they were playing San Francisco. I'm like, oh my God,
here
they're going to lose
they're
game
down
four,
in game four,
and then like they're going to go play game 5, and it's like these guys are just going to have the weight of the world on their shoulders.
And they're so young.
Yeah.
And I think it's wild too. It's wild that they're going to be playing in game 1 of the World Series in Cleveland, obviously the same night that the Cavs get their rings. And if the Cavs hadn't won, I think it would be slightly different, because I think Cleveland had that vibe of just like hasn't won a title in so long, like, and now that the Cavs won, it's like, okay, well, you know, they're coming off a parade. Still would be great for the Indians to win one, but if the Cavs haven't won, the country would look at this and be like, can you imagine Cubs and Indians and like one of these teams is going to win the World Series? You still look at it that way, but it's a little bit more watered down than it would be.
Yeah, the King took a little pressure off. All right, football. Gino, what's the chatter around the water cooler at SNY regarding the Jets QB situation?
Well, it's been a huge topic, obviously. I'm surprised by it because he's kind of like stuck in the middle. Like, you've got Fitz on one end, who's kind of the proven veteran guy. Like, you know he's not going to be great, but you know he's not going to be terrible. Well, he has been terrible, but
he'll give you
something. That's the reason he's out. But then you've got like Petty and Hackenberg, who people think have potential, depending on who you talk to. And then Gino's like right in the middle. Like, he's a free agent after the end of the year. There's really not a lot that the Jets can gain off of him playing well, because he's not going to be around next year. So I think legitimately Todd Bowles did it because he wants a shot in the arm, and he like thinks, even though they're 1-5, that they could maybe make something out of this season, and that maybe he'll be a spark. So I don't think he's like looking towards the future. I just think Fitz was that bad, he just needed to make a change.
What does Geno Smith need to do to how many times does he have to prove to the Jets he's not the guy at this point? That's my feeling about it. It's like, how many times it's like sad for Jets fans. They're like, all right, well, let's go to Geno. It's like, haven't we done this for the last 3 years where it's like, okay, let's go to Geno? Like, I don't get in let. It's hard for me to believe that Petty or Hackenberg are so woefully unready to take over that you can't just go see what you have there. I mean, isn't it like...
No, it's brutal. I mean, it's like that couple that just keeps getting back together, and it keeps ending poorly. And it's like everyone knows that there's not a future there, but they just keep trying to make it work. So, I mean, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
That's a good, very good analogy.
I really like
this guy
it.
Does it professionally.
He
what
does.
What do we expect?
All right. So let me throw this out to the crowd. Brandon Marshall on Geno. It's been amazing to see this guy grow and really punch adversity in the face.
Oh, that was, is that, that was 100% on purpose. Had to have been.
Had to have been.
Brandon Marshall is a smart guy.
Brandon Marshall's on Inside the NFL. Yeah. He knew what he was doing.
He's
there.
Good with words.
I think he hates him because he's the one who's been always like, I'm going down with the Fitzpatrick Fitz, yeah. boat.
It's that's
like,
dark,
it's
by
the
way.
It's not the boat I'd want to be on. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Doug, you
yeah,
think
that's,
blatant.
That's been fascinating because Fitz has this like really good connection with both Decker and Marshall and Mangold. Like, they all, the veterans on the Jets, like, love Fitz. And I don't know, like, who's in Geno's, like, corner. So that's kind of confusing. I don't know if Marshall's there. And obviously that's the really the one guy that matters for Geno to succeed.
I just feel like if I was a Jets fan, I would want to just at least see if one of these younger guys had it or had anything. Like, instead of just yeah. playing this guy who's going to be a free agent. Like,
I think if you combine you Petty to... and Hackenberg, they'd be a decent QB.
Sure. Well,
what do you think of that?
Yeah.
I think you're on to something there.
Let's get that to Bowles.
I think the best thing about them is that we don't know much about them. You know, like, that's, it's the potential idea. It's like, well, we don't know how high their ceiling is, and we're just going to throw them out there and see how they do. Like, they could be great, and the idea of that is exciting. Like, we know Geno is Geno, but, like, could Bryce Petty step in and play like Jimmy Garoppolo did? Like, I guess.
Mm.
But I would say it says something that, like, Maccagnan and Bowles aren't putting them in. Like, if they thought they were great, they'd probably...
Yeah, not a great sign.
Doug, have you interviewed Eric Decker?
I have not.
Okay. I was just going to ask if he's as good-looking in person.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he's
good-looking.
Seen.
Let's
yeah.
be real.
Yeah.
All right. From one shitty QB to another, Zach, can we all just rip on Aaron for a
yes,
couple
wait,
minutes?
Wait, Zach, what is going on with
well,
your guy?
Well, what do we do against your team?
Okay, yeah. Well, Zach...
Yeah, okay.
You got your no, asses
he's already
kicked by
in
the Cowboys
corner. You're already
week.
In your corner like a
well,
wounded
I know
animal.
You guys are looking at me.
No, I'm just one. I mean, dude, you have to admit that Rodgers has been like a shell of himself this year.
Yeah, but also they're 3-2. The two teams they've lost to are a combined 10-1. I still think that, like, I'm not ready to give up on the best quarterback I've ever watched.
Is it possible that Aaron Rodgers, that his best days are behind him, and, like, that's not a ridiculous statement?
Maybe, but not to the point where he's not still one of the top three quarterbacks in the league and that I don't think they're still going to go to the playoffs.
Let's get an objective voice involved here.
Well, I was going to say, weren't there times last year, Zach, where people were on Aaron Rodgers and saying he wasn't great, and then at the end of the year his stats were really good?
Right back where they were, yeah.
Classic Aaron Rodgers. They were very good, though.
Yeah, and then they still ended up like having a throw to go to the NFC Championship.
One thing.
Right. So
go ahead.
I would wait. I'd wait a few weeks. I don't know. I mean, he hasn't looked great. I agree, but I don't know. He's so talented. I don't think talent just goes out the window. And also, he's been. I happen to think that Randall Cobb is one of the more overrated players in the NFL.
Agreed.
And they count him as kind of like a weapon. But like, how many times have we seen it where, I mean, when Jordy was out, he really had nothing. When Jordy's in, like, people consider, like, well, Nelson and Cobb back together. But I really don't think, like, he's surrounded by weapons. And, like, now that Lacy's out, too, it's not like it's going to get any easier for him. So, like, I wouldn't put all the blame on him, but he hasn't really looked the same.
And the turnovers. Throws, the turnovers have been bad, too. I mean, but yeah. We're still only 6-8 months removed from him taking a team that had no skill position players to a coin toss away from the NFC Championship.
His body language to me in the Cowboys game was really bad. Like, it
that's
seems
what happens
like
when you're losing,
it
dude.
What? No, it's not.
Also,
I mean,
people
like,
are going to listen to this on Friday after we crush the Bears tonight.
Yeah, that's good that you do have the Bears.
I hope that
they are terrible.
They better crush the Bears tonight. I just think his, like, it seems like I could envision that Aaron is really upset about what you just mentioned, Doug. That, like, he looks around the league and sees, like, okay, the Giants have Odell Beckham Jr. Like, Dalton has A.J. Green. Tom Brady has Bennett and Gronkowski. And, like, I have Jordy Nelson coming off a knee surgery, and he's supposed to be my go-to guy, but, like, Nelson isn't explosive, take the top off the defense guy that he used to be, and I could see him starting to say to be frustrated with the organization.
Yeah, but that's
yeah, and like think of some of the games they won last year, like the Hail Mary, like he literally had to do anything he could to get wins.
Yeah,
seems like you're kind of taking the blame off Rodgers now. I like that.
No, I am. I just think though something doesn't seem right. It looks like there's some sort of disconnect going on with him. Maybe him and McCarthy. I don't.
But
I
there
don't
has know. Been points like this in the last two seasons.
He's had his doubters. All right, let's continue the whip around. Clip, you want to talk PI.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Very controversial. Sherman on Julio, non-call. Now Sherman's throwing it out there that he wants it to be 15 yards. A lot of discussion over whether it should be reviewable.
I'd want it to be 15 yards, too, if I was a cornerback, and I could just tackle someone on a flyer.
Well, yeah.
Well, Doug, you said you guys talked about this on the air yesterday.
Yeah.
What was the consensus? Or what were people saying?
Well, there's hardly a consensus because people are worried about, like, pace of play, and people are worried about, well, you know, it'll make the job much harder or much easier. Like, the thing being, like, I think the most important part is teams should and can throw the ball deep as often as they want now, because for an offense, really, there's no downside. Like, if you're talking like a 50-yard heave down the field, worst-case scenario is the yardage is pretty similar to a punt if it gets picked. So, and with any contact in the air, you might get the call. Now, that's saying that they're making a call, but the non-calls in the NFL have been almost as bad of late. Like, so it's really tough. I have no issue with just making it reviewable, because at the end of the day, you're talking about the DRC call in the Giants game last week. That, if the Giants had lost, that would have stayed with me for like months.
I totally
agree. It just feels unfair. Like, that game was stolen from us.
I just think that the defense is at such a disadvantage as it is in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's just hard. Like, I just don't know. It's such a subjective call, but I just see both sides. I don't really have an opinion. I see both sides. Like, I can see how the referee in the moment says, look, it's 4th and 17. We're not giving you that call, Julio Jones. But at the same time, like, you have to give him a chance to make a play on the ball. It's a tough one, because I think the pace of play in the NFL is brutal as it is.
And it always ends up being an important call. PI calls are always so decisive.
Van Pelt said the other night, in the last 2 minutes, perhaps, it could be reviewed.
And you know what one of the biggest issues is, honestly, is that a lot of times, like the Julio call, it's at the end of the game, and there's this old school idea that, like, the game should never end up being, you know, ended by a ref.
Right.
And, like, sometimes it has to be. Like,
yes.
If there's a call, like,
if it's a penalty,
it doesn't matter that it's the last play of the game. Like, you have to make the right call.
Yeah. Zach, are you on board with that?
Sure.
All right.
Zach's ready to go out, Doug, for what it's worth. So he's trying to get out of here.
We're getting Doug out of here.
We're getting you out of here.
On this one.
I totally get that. You've got a game to watch, too, when our entire Aaron Rodgers section and commentary is going to be totally worthless. And
after
like
four touchdowns at 400 yards.
404. Isaiah. Saying the Knicks are going to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
One word.
Thoughts.
No, they're not. Doug, I don't know what you have on that. My answer is no chance.
Are the Knicks going to make the Eastern Conference Finals? Is that the question?
Yeah, and just like your take on Isaiah saying that.
I think that the Knicks have a fairly high ceiling if literally everything goes right.
Right. Yeah, they stay healthy. Everything clicks.
Right, but it won't.
My take on the Knicks is they're going to be fun to watch for like 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks are going to be good, and then
the Knicks would be the best team in the NBA if this were 2007.
Porzingis would be young.
Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony, Joachim Noah. Like, wow.
You can say that about a lot of Knicks teams through the years.
Yeah.
You're like, if this was 8 years ago.
That's one of my fantasy teams from like NBA Live.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And your team was really good. Now it's, I don't know. We'll see. Isaiah will say anything to get his name in the press.
That could be part of
it. So people don't forget he's alive.
All right. The man's got a show to prepare for.
Hey, Doug, thank you very much for coming on, man.
Of course, guys. This was fun.
Let's do it again soon.
Of course.
All right,
baby.
Zach's got to go party.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, Doug.
Of course, guys.
That was fun, man. See
you. See you soon.
Klub, great talk with Doug.
He's an excellent guy.
Beautiful voice.
We love DW. So, time for Lupica Locks. Special edition.
Play the music.
This is Lupica Locks.
I'm a $1 million man with a $1 billion plan. From Wall Street to Tokyo to Hollywood, all your big money is going to stay and play with me. That's right. That's why they call me the $1 million man.
Lupica Locks.
You better lock it up. You lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I've been a rich man and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every fucking time.
You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. I'm not joking.
Okay.
Good idea.
I'm ready.
Did they play in the last one?
Oh, they did?
They
played in the last
one. Cool. All right. So the new wrinkle. One day wrinkle. I have one lock. If I hit it, I'm involved in the segment for eternity with one pick. If I miss it, I'm banished forever. Exile.
I like that.
Is that fair, Zach?
I think it should be if you get it right, you're in next week.
No, Zach, come on. Those are high stakes.
Yeah, I think Zach's right.
And then
no,
if you get it right next week, you're in the next week.
No, no.
You, this is our segment.
No, this is not week to week. This is now.
We'll decide later.
All right, either.
Wait.
If he gets it right, either way, he'll be back next week.
But if he gets it wrong, he's gone forever?
He's gone. Yeah.
I'm gone.
I'll take that deal.
All right, so... All right, so before we begin,
I'm surprised we didn't talk about this off the top.
I just want to say something. I've lost my last 10 Lupica locks.
Oh, my God.
So after starting...
Is that a fact?
Oh, yeah.
0-10.
After starting the season, I think I was 16-5. Like, because I went 5-0 the week before.
Yeah.
Yikes. I am now at 16-15. I have lost 10 in a row. I'm calling it... There is this guy that apparently you guys know. He's on Twitter. His name's Aces Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Aces. He's been chirping me. Ever since him and I started communicating, I have been as cold.
0-10 is impressive.
It's almost more impressive than going 10-0.
And I needed Hawaii last night. So I'm like, I'm texting you guys. I'm like, all right, if Hawaii doesn't cover, it's another 0 for week for me. So I haven't won a game in 2 weeks.
But you're 16-15. I'm 15-13. We're still over 500.
Yeah. Either way, dude, it's not like I'm feeling very confident when I haven't even been able to run into a winner.
Yeah.
Hey, well, maybe the listeners will get smart and start taking your action and betting against you.
Well, no. Do think
this is when you get on.
This is when you get on board.
Oh, this is
when
you've
been fading in the last 2 weeks.
He's
Jesus.
Due, huh?
You got some slacks.
So I'm looking at the board. I don't know how I'm feeling. I do want to just start off with a little chop about, I know this is a game that we don't have. Nobody has, I don't think. Alabama A&M this weekend. 19-point spread. Alabama's a 19-point favorite home against the number 6 team in the country.
Zach, are you taking...
What do you make of that? What
if I were to take anything, I would take the points.
You would?
Yeah.
You took them last week.
Who?
Against Bama.
Yeah, and that didn't work because they lost. They won 49-10 against Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, Zach took the Vols. I remember.
So, Trevor Knight from A&M, I think he'd be the first... first quarterback ever to beat Saban twice, because he beat him in that Sugar Bowl in 2014 playing for Oklahoma.
I don't have my stats in front of me, dude.
So Alabama is such an outlier as far as betting goes.
I was reading Felica, the ESPN stats guy. He said that the last like 6 times this has happened, that there's been a spread this big, teams ranked this high, all the dogs have covered or one.
If there is a team that's built to beat Bama, or at least give them a hard time, it's A&M, because their defensive line is so good. But Bama is so good that they will just run it down your throat for 4 quarters, and there's no one else in the country who can do that.
They've also scored a non-offensive touchdown in like 9 straight games.
And they finally have a quarterback who can run. This is a scary team, a really scary team. I would take the points too, but I don't really know what to make of it. You got any more sleeper national championships, or are you just all chalk now, Zach?
It's hard at this point to pick a sleeper, because it's going to be hard for any team outside the top like 6 right now to get in.
Have to be somebody from the Big 12. Have to be like West Virginia runs the table, or Baylor runs the table, something like that. There's a little value there for the listeners.
All right, are you ready for the winner go home?
Do you want to start with the winner go
home? Yeah, I want to start.
You just want to set the table?
Just get it out of the way.
Do you have an explanation?
Kinda. I talked to my advisors, my best people.
Who?
I got a bunch of people. Don't worry about it.
I hope it wasn't Aces Hardware. Fuck that guy.
Or Foos.
I'm on hardware side, dude. Sorry.
How is that name not taken? Isn't that a real store? Seems like infringement. Go ahead.
War fucking Eagle.
Wow, given the 10.
I thought it was a 9.5.
We'll give it to you.
We'll give you 9.5.
We'll give you the hook, big boy.
Yeah.
Home doggies.
Well, they're home favorites. They're
home faves, excuse me. Coming off 3 wins. Bye. Arkansas coming off a very tough game with Ole Miss.
Emotional. Victory,
but emotional.
Sure.
Total trap game.
Well, they played Alabama the week before.
Dude, they're so beaten down. Broken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. War Eagle.
And you like Gus? They beat
Chris,
LSU.
The vest, the visor, the glasses, the whole thing. I love it.
Night game at Jordan-Hare. All right. I like where your head's at.
Sunsets on Jordan-Hare.
6 o'clock start. Sleazy.
Ooh, weird. Weird. About, especially a week before Halloween.
I like it.
Hello.
I like it. Mortal Lock. Win or go home. See you next week or see you never, Lupica Locks.
Okay, Zach. Now, after that, whatever that was, let's get to some picks.
Home dog. He doesn't. You go first, Kloop.
All right. First of all, I was thinking about just throwing darts at a board or flipping coins.
Or just coming on the opposite side of what you like.
But even when you do that, that doesn't work, I've found. I tried that for a while. It doesn't work. Nothing works. All we can do is keep going with what we've been doing. And, you know, hey, if I go 0-5 again, it will be an 0-15.
It gives you a little juice if you go 0-15.
If you go 3 straight weeks without running into a winner by accident, it gives you a little juice. All right, so let's see where we are. First, I have Syracuse, 4-point underdog at BC, 4.5-point underdog at BC. I have no idea why this line is the way it is, which actually kind of scares me, because BC is giving points to a Syracuse team who just beat Virginia Tech. BC lost to Virginia Tech 49-0. BC can't score. They can't move the ball. They haven't won an ACC game in 2 years. In other words, take BC. I'll be taking Syracuse. I just love. I mean, offensively.
Yeah, you got to take BC there, but
offensively, Syracuse looks great. They got your boy, the old coach of
Bowling Green.
I know you were big into him last year, so I'm going with Syracuse. I'm going with Northwestern giving 2 to Indiana at home. Northwestern coming off a good win against Michigan State. Indiana, I don't know, not feeling it. No idea. Take Northwestern. I have Ohio State, Penn State over 57.5 over the total. I just think that game, there'll be points in that game. They got to go to state college, and Ohio State can score. If Penn State scores a few touchdowns, I see that game going over the total. Iowa +3.5, home against Wisconsin. Kind of like Alex is thinking.
Okay. 90% of money coming in on that game is on the other side.
Is on Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Wow.
That makes me happy.
That should.
CJ Beathard, the quarterback from Iowa, can ball. And Wisconsin's coming off their biggest game of the season, kind of a letdown game. And Iowa's still got a lot to play for. Iowa's all right. Take the 3.5, please. Come on. And then I got a bonus pick, but I'm not going to give it out quite yet.
Don't. Save it for the social media.
Bonus.
Keep them
soon
coming
come.
Back. My turn?
So those are my 4. Lupica, please, God, give me a win.
See you at 0-14 next week.
Alex texted me last week. I go, I need Hawaii to win in order to get to 1-4. He goes, he responds, you are Bane coming from the pit.
The pit.
No light in sight.
I was born in the darkness.
Yeah. Ooh, that was good.
You like that?
But that was me. And now I will be like Bruce Wayne and swing from the vine until I can get out of that.
You will.
What about our text, Alex, Saturday night?
I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Oh, you telling me it was all over? Don't come back for me.
Forget about me.
Yeah, forget about me. Yeah, Zach, I was like, that is a dark thing to hear.
Okay.
Zach gets a darkness in his eyes after he goes out for a full day. He's like, that's it, man. I'm out.
I mean,
I'm
two
done.
Words, South Side.
All right, I'm up.
Our newest sponsor.
Yeah. Lupica Locks brought to you by South Side.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
First, the midshipmen.
Navy.
Never bet against our servicemen.
I'm now seeing on their Google page, mascot Bill the Goat.
Yeah, you've seen that
what
guy.
What a joy.
The Goat?
Kind of looks like the Carolina mascot.
They are getting 2.5 at home against Memphis. Just take them. Don't bet against the Navy or you're a dick. They just beat Houston, put up 46. You got to like that.
Triple option is just a nightmare.
That is a mortal lock.
I love that stuff.
That was actually the
first. You can find me and punch me in the face if they don't cover.
That was the first game that stood out to me on the board. I feel like Memphis has.
God, that makes me not like it.
Yeah, especially the way I've been going.
Kansas State at home against Texas, giving 2, I believe.
You guys love Snyder.
Yeah.
He fucked me last week.
Texas, I don't believe, is 1 on the road this year. Losses at Cal, at Oklahoma State, at Oklahoma.
Defense is horrible. Is Kansas State's quarterback, is Ertz playing?
Don't care. Take him.
Okay.
Why ask stupid questions?
Yeah, that was a dumb question.
Well, he got hurt last week, and that was what was my demise.
Stop. Let the man go. He's a
lock. I forget what my last one was. Oh, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, 84 over.
Wow.
Shootout.
Guns up.
I was debating whether to take Oklahoma or go over. I just feel like Texas Tech at home, they can put up points. That game's going to be in the 40s. Neither team plays a lick of defense.
What do you think the Texas Tech people say to Kingsbury? Like, we love what you're
doing.
We love what you're doing on offense.
Keep doing what you're doing.
We love it on offense. Okay, don't get us wrong now. But it's the defense. And he's
Cliff,
like,
Cliff.
He's like, I know. We just got rid of another coordinator, 4th in 3 years.
We don't practice it. Which could help. I don't know.
We just work so much on perfecting that offense. Yeah. It's like BC. He's like, oh, yeah, no, the offense is coming around in a couple of years.
Offense will work itself out.
But defense is the heart and soul of a winning team.
Yeah. God, I love Cliff.
That's it.
Is
three
that winners. It?
Just three?
Yeah, I'll give out a bonus. That's what I do, dude. Time I give out three, and then I give out a fourth.
I should be giving out like 25.
And I don't lose them all.
Hit the sound effect.
Boom.
Ding, ding.
All right, well, that's it for the Lupica Locks.
That? No, dude, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was going to say hit the sound effect.
Cloop, hit the sound effect.
Ding, 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 ding. Bonus, bonus, bonus. Welcome to Cloop's bonus round of misery. I got Washington State at Arizona State giving the 7, laying them. They're going to house Arizona State. And if you know what's good for you, take Washington State.
I pray that you're 0-14 and that is your last hope.
Yeah, that'll be the late game. You got to
swinging
yourself,
from the vine.
Yeah, the Bane crawl out of the pit game, as I like to call it.
All right.
That's all we got. It's a whole show.
Now all you can do is hope.
Full boat.
See you next week.